This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And good morning. Here, draft is all over, and we got three rookie mini camps going on this week. The rest of the league has rookie mini camps, and the interesting thing is, it looks like, despite the Players Association, some rookies are showing up, almost a full complement with the Jets. And so that's kind of interesting to see where that's all going. But in the meantime, we're here till 11 o'clock taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get going with some headlines. Well, Mariners had a 5-4 victory last night over Texas, down in Texas. They'll continue the series today. Got some timely hitting. They ended up having 10 hits. Flexen pitched a good game. And so, in the end, it was a pretty good battle all the way. But the timely hitting right at the end gave them the 5-4 victory. As far as what's going on in the National Football League, you know, the Players Association continues to tell players do not go and they wanted to boycott their mini camps and OTAs and all that stuff. Some players are going, some players not. One that really had a bad tragedy, who was outside the camp and could end up losing $32 million, was Juwan Jones, the right tackle of the Denver Broncos. In fact, yesterday they put him on the non-football injury list, which gives them the ability to come back and maybe say, okay, you've got a guarantee in your contract. We're going to avoid that. We're going to cut your salary at $10 million this year. You're not going to be back next year. And you can understand their position, because he was working out in a facility, tore the Achilles, and ended up now being out for the year. He's been there three years. He only played three games in his first season after getting a $12.25 million a year contract. And he didn't play last year because he opted out, and then he gets the Achilles tear away from the facility. Not a good situation. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are we doing this fine Saturday morning, my friend?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, doing great. First things first, Mr. Clayton, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that's listening to you in Clayton land.
That's great.
Yeah, yep. Hey, you were talking, now being that he was working out outside of the facility, they don't have no responsibility at all toward him.
No, they don't, because it was a non-football injury suffered away from the facility, and even the league reminded the players, and of course the union got upset about this because they're saying you're just trying to, stir up and have people break the boycott. But if you get an injury away from the facility, the team has the ability to void guarantees. They have the ability to just cut you, and if it's done in the facility, then they wouldn't have that right. But now outside the facility, they can do it.
Now, because I saw Tom Brady talked about the players stay united on as far as the mini camp, going to those workouts. He was saying stay united together. But the thing it is, Mr. Clayton, when you look at a couple of these undrafted free agents, that rookie free agents, guys trying to make the team, what their incentive is to go there to try to prove their worth to even be able to come to training camp.
Right, exactly. And that's and particularly, guys that opted out and didn't play the previous season.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to get into some type of football shape. And if I'm an undrafted rookie and I'm looking out like, Tom Brady, you got your money, but I got to get in there and try to get me a job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand where they want them to be united, but this is predicated on trying to be able to have the ability to come to the OTAs and training camp.
Well, it's for the veterans who have been around a long time, to have the rookies stay out, that gives the rookies limited chance to be able to replace them.
Yes, it does. If you look at it last year when the pandemic first came out, I mean, they canceled all OTAs, mini camps and stuff like that, and they went right to training camp. That eliminated a lot of rookies that could have showed something. They were under the gun right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there was a lot of that potentially they couldn't get a job as far as that's concerned. I think I understand where they're going with this, but I would like for them to at least take consideration for those undrafted players that's trying to make a team.
What about the drafted players? I mean, particularly in a year like this where the draft was so bad.
Yes, the draft was bad because of the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't see them. You had to just Skype them. You had to just do virtual interviews with them. I mean, you like to get some face-to-face time with these guys. Of course, with a mask on.
And, of course, and if you're boycotting, does that mean you're not even having the Zoom meetings?
They're cutting that out, too, in the boycott?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, what do you want them to do? I mean, and like I said, a lot of veteran players, that what you just said earlier could have been a possibility of them not wanting these guys to get a leg up so they could have a leg up over these guys going into training camp. But I mean, you got to let these rookies get a chance to get in there and get in mini camp. At least let them have a little bit of the mini camp.
Right, right. So
they could at least see, let the coaches get some indication of what they're looking at before they start. Are they going to have OTAs and are they going to have the mini camps in June like they normally do? Like,
yeah, and they're mandatory.
Yeah, those are going to go down, right?
We'll see. I mean, they're mandatory. You're supposed to be there.
Yeah, wow. Now, what was the percentage of players not getting hurt compared to the years prior to?
I think they were up. I mean, I had close to 2,000 injuries. Yeah, wow. But again, what I do is I count missed starts of starters. And again, I don't double up. Like, for example, if your left tackle goes down and then the left tackle replacement gets hurt, I don't count the left tackle replacement. I just count the starters.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of starters did go down last year. More Achilles tears have been coming out lately,
yeah.
Mr. Clayton. Is that just wear and tear?
Not training the tendons well enough.
As far as like,
yes, like not taking care of the tendons. I mean, in other words, you want to do the right off-season work, and you want to do the off-season work that's going to make sure that your tendons aren't going to have any problems, whether it's going to be ACLs or whether it's going to be Achilles. So there was a little bit less on the ACLs, but there were more on the Achilles.
Yeah, I'm starting to notice a lot more Achilles tears and stuff like that, in sports. I was thinking, because most of that, I was thinking maybe it was just so much wear and tear on those Achilles tendons that you'd have those issues with it like that. But let's talk a little bit about the draft, Mr. Clayton. As far as draft grades, give me some teams that you think that did well.
I thought the Jets did the best. I liked New England. I like Carolina. Certainly, I like what Chicago did in trading up and being able to get Justin Fields. So I thought that they did well. Certainly, there was some teams that really Miami did okay, not great, but they did okay. So I thought that was good. Then I thought Indianapolis did well, getting two pass rushers.
You think the 49ers got it right in getting Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He's a talented young quarterback.
Yeah. What about the Rams? You think they got it right?
No. In fact, I don't know this for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But when Seattle took Dwayne Estridge, I think that was the guy that the Rams wanted. Because, I mean, you could see a little bit of panic in the room once the choice was made. And so they had to come back and then take Tutu Atwell, who was a 169-pound receiver. And so I think that they wanted Eskin.
Now, most of those receivers, Mr. Clayton, and they were talking about Devontae Smith, the kid from Alabama. He came in at 100. I think he dressed in at 165 with his pads on and everything. But they talk about they're pretty much the mold of DeSean Jackson. You pretty much have to use them in that mode. You can't use them on going across the middle. You know, you line them up in the slot, they're 9 out of 10 to be caught up in traffic.
Right.
So primarily what you're looking at is a deep nine receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the Rams were looking for when the Hawks took that receiver right prior to them?
Yeah, I think so. Trying to get him in the second round.
Yeah, Yeah, they tried to pick him up.
Because they have the good one in Cooper Kupp. You know, they did lose Josh Reynolds in free agency, and so they're, you know, grooming somebody from behind him. But I think that they were looking to try to do that, and as Seattle was, trying to get that deep threat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, football is starting to be basketball on grass.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to spread the field out and open things up a lot more. It's putting a lot more pressure on the defense. I thought the Cleveland Browns did good on their defense.
Oh, I did too.
And bolstering their defensive side of the ball.
I think they got lucky is that you know, they were able to get a cornerback, Greg Newsome, in the first round, and then they were able to get Owusu Koroma from Notre Dame, 216-pound linebacker in the second round. Now, he dropped because of some heart issues, but no, I thought that they did well.
Yeah, what do you think about the Saints, what they did in the draft?
I don't even know who the heck Patrick Turner is.
Are you talking about the defensive end from Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Mr. Clayton? He was a guy that came to Houston. He weighed 215 pounds. When he left, right now he's leaving the Houston, University of Houston, he's 270 pounds. Now, he's a very strong kid as far as that's concerned. He's got some twist to him, a little edge rushing to him and all that. I think they were trying to replace. You got to think about this with the Saints. They lost the defensive end, Trey Hendrickson. They lost Sheldon Rankins, and they lost Malcolm Brown. They lost about 22 sacks on their defensive line.
Right.
So you've got to kind of start replacing that. And then Cam Jordan is not getting any younger. You know,
right.
Cam Jordan is not going to get any younger. So you've got to start replacing some of your defensive linemen. And as far as that, they got to look toward the future. They couldn't get Trey Hendrickson back, which he was one of their better ones last year. I think he recorded 13 sacks.
Uh-huh.
Now, I like they got a linebacker, the kid from Ohio State, because they needed to replace that because Quan Alexander, they had to let him go via with the high cap. They had to replace that.
Right.
I like that they did that.
The Pete Warner one was fine. I just didn't see anybody having having Turner in the top 50.
He kind of started to sneak around the late part of the first round with some people. I think like 11 teams went check him out in his pro day, about 11, 12 teams. He had a COVID issue last year. And if you look at the University of Houston, I think they missed like five or six games with the coronavirus issue. But we'll see what happens to him. He's a pretty decent looking guy. If you don't watch Houston football, you probably don't know nothing about him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I just happen to have the tendency of watching it. I had a cousin play with him a couple of years. So that's why. Yeah. So
hey, JB, got to run.
Mr. Clayton, we'll talk next Saturday, my friend.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Raider, how are you?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. So, John, I'm going to talk about a guy named Casey Hayward who was signed as a cornerback, came out of the Chargers organization and was signed by the Raiders earlier this week, which will actually lead to my second question on compensatory picks. But Hayward looks like he's a two-time Pro Bowler and first came out of Vanderbilt, was drafted by the Green Bay Packers, and then it ended up with the Chargers for four seasons with Gus Bradley. And I think that's a great acquisition for the Raiders, John.
Yeah, I do. And I think they got him cheap, too, because they got him on a one-year deal at $2.5 million.
Right, right. And I'm just, they've got a young secondary, questionable at that. And so I think Hayward will provide a little bit of gravitas and a little bit of guidance and leadership.
Yeah. And again, because he knows the system from Gus Bradley, I think he's a good fit.
Right.
So he's been to one Pro Bowl. That's good. And again, they got him at a real good price.
Yeah, I think he actually been two Pro Bowls, actually, but I think you're right. They got him at a good price, so I'm excited about that. And then I was reading an article on USA Today about compensatory draft picks, and I've heard you talk about this over the years, and God knows we know that, for instance, the late GM for the Ravens, Ozzie Newsome, used to feast on the compensatory draft picks. But I think the math works out to where if you lose people in free agency, but gain people, but if you lose more than you gain, you get a compensatory pick. Am I right?
Right, and again, there's a price limit. Like, for example, it's just not just the number. It's what the guy was able to make. Like this year, for example, it used to be that if the guy was making minimum salary, you don't count him, okay? So now it's $1.75 million or less, and you don't count those guys. So, for example, but if you lose anybody making more than $1.75 million, more than you've gained, then you'll get a compensatory pick, and you get as many as four.
Right. Yeah, the losses for the Raiders this past year in free agency were Nelson Aguilar, Devontae Booker, Malik Collins, Tack McKinley, but they added Kenyon Drake, Yannick Ngakoue, and Solomon Thomas. So four against three, and we all know that Nelson Aguilar signed for a big contract this offseason. So a lot of people are saying they're going to get a six-round pick.
Yeah, six-round pick for Tack McKinley.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right, for Tack McKinley, that's right. Which a lot of people are claiming to be shrewd, and I'm thinking, yeah, that was pretty shrewd because, that's a good thing. But how it relates to cornerback Casey Hayward, so apparently there's a cutoff time.
Yeah, cutoff time was May 3rd.
Okay, and then is that always the case? I know that we all look at schedules and dates.
Yeah.
I know you're really good at that. Is that a hard, fast date? Is there a date that we should be looking for when that date occurs every year in the NFL season?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be the same date, but basically it's like the Monday or so after the draft.
The Monday after the draft.
Yeah, Monday after the draft. Again, the draft may be a different date each year, but it's the Monday after the draft.
Good, because, the Raiders have never really been in play for a compensatory pick.
No.
Which doesn't show well for them as a team, because usually if you're losing more players than you're gaining, it usually shows that you've got good players on your team the previous year.
Uh-huh. So what do you think of the reach that they did Alex Leatherwood, with the 17th pick?
Yeah. We talked a bit about it last week. You weren't in favor of it. You thought it was a reach. And here's the thing, John. Again, it's documented in a lot of articles, and actually Mayock spoke to it. He was on their board. He is who they wanted. And they would have been willing to trade down, but no one was willing to trade down. And the only partner that was willing to trade down also needed a tackle. And so they just felt like, well, we gotta get with the guy what we want on our board. And, the Raiders, let's face it, they're going to do their own thing. I think that's why some of their fans like the team. Sometimes it doesn't play out as far as success on the gridiron, but they're going to do what they want to do. And they ranked it. This guy was the Outland Trophy winner. He was a consensus All-American. He played at a top-tier school, Alabama. So all of those factors, persuaded them to go for this kid who looks to be a good player. Speaking of Alabama, by the way, John, Nick Saban was quoted in Baton Rouge, some Baton Rouge paper. They were interviewing him, and he still stings about the Drew Brees situation when he was head coach in Miami, and how the doctors gave Drew Brees a thumbs down. And look what happened with Drew Brees after that. Nick Saban was saying that, well, I could have still been the head coach of Miami. He's still stinging about that, and he's won all these national championships, John.
Yeah, and again, I agree with him, because the doctors overruled him. And I still remember Ron Wolf telling me the story that when they traded for Brett Favre, the team doctor would not pass him on the physical. And he overruled the team doctor and still kept him, which obviously was a great move. And guess who ended up losing his job the next year? The team doctor.
Indeed. And look at the consecutive times that Brett Favre played for the Green Bay Packers. Uh-huh. He still holds the record, am I right?
Right.
Well, there you go. But I think it's interesting how, coaches don't forget these things.
No.
And it's important to be skeptical about the measurables. And even if you have professionals, sometimes you got to go with your gut. By the way, Nick Saban, you know who hired him as his first college coaching stint? Do you know who hired him?
Who's that?
None other than Don James.
Wow. How about that? At Kent State? Was it Kent State?
Right, it was Kent State.
Yeah.
Correct. That's correct. And I just think that's great. See, and look, we've talked a lot about you know, why things happen the way they do. Relationships matter.
Right.
Relationships matter in anything you do, and that's especially the case in football. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. So I thought that was interesting to hear what Nick Saban had to say, because, look, Drew Brees, what a great player. And now he's retired, but what a great career he had. And I just think that it's remarkable how we just can, you know, we talk about measurables, and like this kid, this second rounder that the Browns got from Notre Dame. Yeah, he's on the smaller side. Yeah, he leaves his feet, but the guy can play football. I mean, he can play. I mean,
I had him going to the Browns in the first round with my mock draft.
There you go. See, there you go. And if I think Irish Mickey, he was talking about him too. And I'm thinking, yeah, that kid can play. So good for the Browns for getting him.
Yeah.
He's an exciting player.
Okay. Hey, got to run.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, John, did you watch all 3 days of the draft?
Yes. Well, actually, I didn't watch the third day because, and I'm still having problems because my Comcast, I can't get on TV. And so, so when I turned the TV on Saturday morning, particularly knowing I was going to be doing the show and doing 2 hours of draft coverage, I didn't have anything there. So I didn't watch after the show, I went upstairs and watched it on a different cable provider. But, I still don't have any Comcast.
If I was you, John, I would talk to somebody higher up in Comcast and ask them, hey, what the heck is going on?
Well, they're also involved in sponsoring this show.
Yeah, there's something going on there.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just brutal. Like, I turned it on the other day, and it wouldn't be on. It's like I can turn it on right now, and it's not going to be on.
Yeah.
So, in other words, with my Comcast, it's like it's useless.
Yeah.
Because, again, what I do is I have, you know, DirecTV, like four DirecTVs, three or four DirecTVs, through the rest of the house, but here in the office, I have Comcast.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
But right now, I have no Comcast.
Yeah. Hey, John, is it a possibility that Seattle could possibly get the draft?
It's a possibility, yeah.
Because if you look at Cleveland, the weather's no better than Cleveland than here.
Right.
You notice that majority of the people are all bundled up.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So it could work here.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the a lot of the people in town still try to work on it and try to see if they can get it, but it hasn't worked so far.
Yeah. Hey, John, how do you rate the Steelers draft?
I give it a B.
Yeah.
Maybe a B minus. I wasn't sure taking a second round tight end was the right move, and I don't know if they've done enough on the offensive line.
Yeah, I give it a C plus. What I don't understand, they didn't address that offensive line. They should have gone more offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
They draft a lot of cornerbacks. I'm wondering if those guys are going to work out, you know?
Well, it was a good draft for cornerbacks, but it was also a good draft for defensive linemen.
Yeah.
It was not a good draft for tight ends. Like, I had the tight end that they took going in the third round.
Who's that kid from Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the real deal, huh?
I don't know. I mean, he's okay, but, and again, we're talking about Patrick Friermuthi. Friermuthi.
Hey, John, I got a question for you about Vegas when they set odds in games.
Yeah.
Do you buy into those odds that they set on games?
To a degree, yeah, because, again, that's their business. That's what makes money for them.
So do they know something that you don't know?
No, they don't.
So what is it, like more like a guessing game?
Not a guessing game. It's just a strategic thing to try to see, okay, how many points in that. I mean, I'm sure there's, because they've been doing it for so long, it was before analytics, but you know, obviously there's going to be a 3-point difference in home and away. That's something that's going to be there. And then they try to judge the teams. And then, of course, if the team starts to improve or starts to fall down, then they make adjustments in the ratings.
Yeah, I see where they're picking Cleveland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the West, they're picking, of all teams, the Niners to win that division. Niners, Rams, and Seahawks.
Yeah, I think the Niners are going to be better, but I wouldn't put them at that level yet.
I don't get that. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Huh? All right, John, good talking to you. You take care.
All right, Mike. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. I hope you and Mrs. Clayton have a fantastic weekend.
Let's hope so.
Just on a TV note, apparently there's some college football today on Como at 11:30, the NCAA FCS Championships live.
Okay.
Anyway. So, Mr. Clayton, the draft, going back to the draft, the Irish, not great compared to the big boys, you know, first rounders.
Right.
But they had nine guys taken.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys
good.
Ended up in some great places. Aaron Banks, in three guys in the second round, two guys in the third. And the one that I thought was the best of all was Ian Book. Getting drafted by the Saints.
In the fourth round, yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I like it so much is Ian Book is very similar, I think, to the great quarterback that just retired. They're the same size, and they're basically the same kind of football player.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see, you know, a couple of years maybe, and who knows, this kid may turn out to be. A great replacement.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, he's going to certainly get good coaching from Sean Payton.
Yeah. I just thought it's a perfect fit for him. He couldn't have done it. It couldn't have worked out better for him.
Yeah,
so,
I think
anyway,
he came
but
out
that's
of it okay.
The future. So going back, did you get a chance to watch that 30-30 show, Al Davis versus NFL?
I did not, no.
Oh, Mr. Clayton, maybe when you get a free time. I'm sure you can go back and find it on YouTube or something. You
uh-huh.
know what I mean? I'm sure you can. It was very good. It was very good. It really boiled down to, in the end, the summation of it was that Al Davis was just fighting to have his own place.
Right.
And the NFL was trying to keep... Keep it. They didn't want to bust up the big cities two-team league, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting. Though. It was great footage. They dressed up a couple of actors to represent the two parties, Roselle and Davis, kind of at the beginning at the end. But most of it was footage
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
So they did a good job on that then, right?
You get a chance.
Not surprising.
Just watch it for fun.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Clayton, I'll let you go because you're a busy man today, and I'm going to go have some fun, and I hope you do too. Go Irish!
What are you going to do to have some fun?
Oh, well, I'm going to go out and about. I'm
okay.
going to do some errands. You know, I've got a 50-year high school class reunion project that I'm involved with, and...
Okay.
I'm working on that to put together the name tags as one of the many projects I've got going. And so I've got some appointments to go see FedEx office boys and
okay.
Have them help me computerize the process.
Well, enjoy.
Yes, sir. And I hope I'd give you my Comcast signal if I could, Mr. Clayton. But
with Comcast right now, I probably have had two, because I was able to watch Friday and Saturday, Thursday and Friday, but my thing has been off pretty much for about a month and a half.
Is it because of your location, or you?
Well, what happened, so I had somebody that was going to come in and fix it up last week, but then they called and they said that they found the problem in the area. And they were able to fix it, and then I was able to get it for like Thursday and Friday, and then on Saturday it went out and hasn't been back since.
Oh, it's madness.
I know.
Madness. You
and
know?
Plus, they're involved in sponsoring this show.
Well, beyond that, the big Comcast can't seem to deliver, apparently, huh, Mr. Clayton?
I don't know. It's just that it doesn't
it's
work.
It's terrible, and that you're stuck with it. You know, you don't have an option. You're
mm-hmm.
at the mercy of these people, and it's terrible.
I know, but you have to suffer through it.
As they say, the squeaky wheel gets greased. Raise a little heck, Mr. Clayton.
Okay, well, Comcast, I mean, fix this thing. It's brutal.
Oh, I understand, but you know, you pound the table.
Yeah.
Shout at him, Mr. Clayton.
Okay.
It's crazy. All right. You have a great weekend anyway.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
We are taking your phone calls at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Draft is done. Now we have three rookie mini camps going on next week. The Seahawks have their rookie mini camp. Again, want to see your reaction to the Seahawks draft. Naturally, the fact that there's only three draft choices. I think they drafted well with the three, but I still look at the big picture, and the big picture says, okay, they still end up getting two guys who have been to the Pro Bowl in this draft, Jamal Adams and Carlos Dunlap. They were able to get a $11 million guard in Gabe Jackson with the trades. And, of course, this was a draft that was not considered to be very good. This is a draft that, basically, it was so weak that the undrafted rookies that are coming in aren't getting much play. Some teams only have, like, one, two guys that have been signed. I don't know how many more they're going to try to get. But, it wasn't a good draft. And you had so many college opt-outs that were there in the first round. You don't know how good these guys are either. So what's your reaction to that? What's your reaction to the Seahawks draft? What's your reaction to some of the moves in the National Football League? That's 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. So as we continue along here, we also are going to go into Mac and Jack text line for your questions. It's like from the 206, what grade do you give the Seahawks draft? Or were you surprised that they only ended up with three picks? Yeah, I was surprised about that. I'll give it a B, because, again, I think that when they took Dwayne Estridge, I think they took a player that the Rams wanted because they came back into Tutu Atwell, who was like 169 pounds. And so that, I think, was good. Trey Brown looks like an intriguing guy, even though he's not the biggest guy in the world. So I thought, that was good. Taking Stone Forsythe with the in the sixth round was good. But I think you can see that what John Snyder could have traded down, and I know he was talking trade with a team in the second round, but also it just didn't work out, and probably didn't work out to their to be right, because I think that they did want Estridge, and so they were able to get him. And if he was going to go to the next pick, then they weren't going to get him. So I thought that turned out to be a pretty good situation, and so that was good. Also from the 425 on the Mac and Jack text line, it's like the biggest surprise in the draft. Again, I'd have to say the trade up with Chicago, going from 20 to 11, that one worked out great for Chicago. And I don't think it worked out too well for the New York Giants, because if indeed there's only like 15, 16 first round grades, they trade down to 20 and they get a wide receiver in Tony, who was Kadarius Tony, who basically is a low first round pick. And so did they really benefit with that move? And I question it. I think that that didn't work out certainly as well as they thought it was going to. They needed a receiver, and he's a decent receiver. I mean, he's like the third or fourth best receiver in this draft. Well, actually, the fourth or fifth best receiver in this draft, but it was basically a three-receiver draft. So I thought that was real curious. What was interesting is that the Saints really wanted Tony, and they had the 28th pick, which, of course, would fall right in line with where that should be. But in the end, it's like, okay, did they do all right or didn't do all right? But I still like there's a lot of surprises, guys dropping, guys falling, and all that stuff. From the 360, Professor, can you go over the compensatory pick one more time? Why do teams get them, and who decides the picking order? Well, the management council makes a ruling on those picks. And what they do is that they look to see, okay, what's the playing time? What's the salary? Most of the stuff is based on the salary. But the way the compensatory picks work, and again, anybody making $1.75 million or less doesn't qualify and count. And so what ends up happening, and particularly this year, because of the pandemic and the fact that the cap went down to $182.5 million, you now have, you know, a lot less salaries than you have. And so the big salary guys, you can get a third-round pick. But now this year, there weren't many third-round picks. But they cancel each other out. Let's say that you sign a $20 million quarterback, and then you lose a $20 million player. I mean, it kind of scratches that. But if you lose more players than you sign, over $1.75 million, then you're eligible for a compensatory pick, and you can get up to four. So that's what that plan is, and it's one that kind of rewards team. Now, the only addition to this is the fact that now if you have a minority front office person go to another team, you can get two third-round compensatory picks over a two-year period. So that's why the draft went from 156 to basically 159 this year. And technically, you could say it was 161, but two teams had to forfeit because of some things with COVID-19 problems. But overall, it's one that if you lose players, you can gain some picks the next year. Like, for example, Seattle, I think that technically they lost five, where they signed five and lost four. And so basically by signing more than you gain and then you lose, then you don't get a compensatory pick. So this is the second straight year they didn't get a compensatory pick. But naturally, if you're Seattle, you're wanting to try to win, and you want to try to win now. And so that's what their strategy was. And so they didn't get a compensatory pick. But that's where the compensatory pick story goes. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bill in Linwood. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hi, John. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, I want to, just quick question first. I don't want to spend much time. But do you think Deshaun Watson's going to end up playing football this season?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he may have to get a suspension depending on how that case goes. And right now it's still not – the police, apparently, from what I gather, are not going to make any charges. So that does help him out in trying to avoid getting some kind of a suspension or, going on the exempt list for six games. But now the question is going to be, is he going to show up? Because as much as he's got the problems with the 22 lawsuits, he doesn't want to be a Houston Texan. I mean, he realizes that he doesn't like the front office. It's a bad situation overall. And so, it's kind of like the Aaron Rodgers situation where it's like, okay, Aaron says he's not going to be there. Deshaun Watson says he's not going to be there. So now the question is he going to be there?
Yeah. Okay, hey, I want to mention the NFC West. You know, what a tough division.
Oh, brutal.
FI.com and two others have got the L.A. Rams power rankings at number four out of 32 teams. And the Rams are just – I just John, sometimes you disagree with this, but they did get, a lot of the players back that some people thought were going to end up leaving because of salary cap. But,
the only player they got back was Leonard Floyd.
Right, but they also were able to re-sign Darius, defensive back Darius Williams or whatever his name is.
Oh no, but he was going to be there anyways. He was a restricted free agent.
Uh huh.
They had 11 free agents, and they've lost 10 of them.
Uh huh.
And they also had to trade Michael Brockers. So when you lose 10 players like that, you're not as deep of a team. And particularly you lose John Johnson, who's a real good safety. I mean, you trade Michael Brockers, who's a decent defensive end. He's like a $10 million defensive end. You lose Ekubon, the linebacker who went to San Francisco, and your starting center goes to Kansas City.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I just think they're loaded with talent, John, and a lot of writers, agree with that. It's just going to be a tough division of the 49ers talent. So, yeah. So, anyway, and then Kellen Moore, offense coordinator for the Cowboys, said it's not going to take that much for Stafford to connect with some receivers and some really scary things, some really good things he thinks are going to happen. It's just a team to watch.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a team to watch, but, it's like when you lose like three starters on defense, are you going to be as good on defense? Because remember, I mean, they didn't have a first-round pick, so they weren't able to add a lot of things. And so they did lose a lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. It's going to be a fun season.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much, John, for being available for us. Thank you.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.